Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. I want to read to you again a very familiar scripture. I find this that as we've been going through the Bible, and last week we preached on the 23rd Psalm, sometimes we believe if we read the Bible and we remember that verse, we never need to read it again. Well, I read them over and over, and I like preaching on familiar verses because it shows us that there is something new that we can get. There's something more that will enrich us more if we read it again and again and again and again. The Bible is a book of words, phrases, principles. And if you break it down and you look at it, and then you look at it as a whole, it just comes alive and it presents its power as we do that. I'll read to you the Beatitudes. And if you're going to have an attitude, it better be a good one. And seeing the multitude, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, now remember who he's talking to here, his disciples. He's preaching to the choir. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you are rival and persecuted, and shall all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets whom were before you. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you be with us this day. Lord, I pray that you show your heart today to your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Back in 1966, I was 16 years old, and I took a group of kids, and we went to a movie. And it was a movie that made Clint Eastwood famous, and it was called, it was an Italian-made movie, and it was called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Well, we've all met people like that. Today, we meet people, the good, the bad, and the crazy, I think, sometimes. We're living in one of those worlds where we think, you know, they say that one out of 10 people's just nuts. So if you look around, the other 9 look okay to you. Chances are you're in trouble. But there are people that we are not comfortable dealing with. We're not comfortable dealing with people that make statements like, if you don't like it, leave it. It's my way or the highway. I don't care what you're talking about, I'm right. Drop whatever you're doing because I need this completed. They don't care about our space. They don't care about what we're doing. They don't care about any agenda that we might have. All they care about is themselves. We don't like dealing with people who are busybodies, complainers, deadbeats, know-it-alls, crybabies, and users. And we have a world full of people that we see like that, especially from where we stand. The problem is they see you maybe in the same light. Because maybe it doesn't matter whatever they bring up, you're just against it. Maybe it doesn't matter what they like, you just don't like it. And you say, that person is just the opposite of me. And that person's saying, that person's just the opposite of me. And we live in this world, and God said He wants us to live in this world, and He wants us to be a light unto the world. He wants us to be the salt of the earth. And He is telling us as a church how He wants us to be. So how do we deal with difficult people? How do we deal with anybody in life, the good and the bad or the otherwise? There's a little boy, and he was misbehaving when he was eating. And his dad said, "Son, you're just going to sit there and be quiet while the rest of us eat in peace." He said, "No, you pray." That's something my dad would do. And I could just hear this. He'd say, "Now, Bobby, you pray." Well, this boy prayed all right. He said, "Thank you, Lord, for preparing a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." How many times do we actually sit down and eat and we feel that uncomfortable with the people that we're working with or the people that we're dealing with at the time? Well, what can we do to change it? Well, prayer is the first thing. But Jesus gives us two ways to deal with difficult people. And He gives it to us in this list of Beatitudes. And one is demonstrate mercy. For the Bible says in Matthew 5:7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy." We don't understand what compassion is in the church. And before you can understand mercy, you've got to understand what it is to be compassionate. I don't know what has happened to the church today, but we have this ugly look. And when the world looks at us, they see us as being mean and being hard and being judgmental. And if we don't have mercy, we surely can't have justice. And if we don't have justice, we can't show mercy. So we're three steps away, the Christian church, from being who God wants us to be. When I was a little boy and I came to Christ, I was taught that there is a kingdom of God that you step into when you become a Christian. And Jesus is your king. And that means there are no boundaries any longer. Anyone who comes into Christ is a new creation. They're part of His kingdom. They're part of who He is. And He will supply our needs. And He is the one that we work for. He is the main cause of life, and He is the giver of all life. So everything we do must be upon understanding we're a citizen of His country, where He is king. The church in this world today, and especially in this country today, has drawn lines of barriers that keep people out of the church that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. And it is incompassionate. It is not showing true justice, and it is surely not showing mercy. Lady used to take a jog through Central Park in New York, and she had passed a photographer. And one day she stopped and she decided she'd have her picture taken. She had her picture taken and she took the Polaroid, and as it started to develop, she got halfway across the park and she looked at it and she got very angry and she went back. And she said, "I want you to know this picture does not do me justice." Photographer said, "Ma'am, you don't need justice, you need mercy." There is a difference. The reason I told you that, there is a difference between justice and mercy. We are acceptable of justice. When people say, "Forgive me," we will sometimes accept that. A lot of times we don't have enough compassion to even accept that. But the Bible says to do good unto those who do evil unto you. To treat your enemies good. The Bible says to turn your other cheek. The Bible says you are in my kingdom and that you will be persecuted for my sake. But you show mercy. Mercy is showing it before they deserve it. Mercy is going out of this church and actually being a church that says, I love the people of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I met with Randy Ostra Thursday morning. And he was talking about the food programs that the ProMedica health centers are trying to put together because we have like 27% of our children in the Toledo area that are underfed. He said the hospital is now paying the people to package the food that's left over down at the casino so that they can get it out into the people's hands so the children can be fed. In 1977, hunger was almost eradicated in the United States of America. And today, and I think today because we have hard hearts, we see kids being kicked out of food lines and in the schoolhouses because the bill hadn't been paid. Let me tell you something. The kingdom of God is not the kingdom of this world, and we need to realize that, and we need to stand in the kingdom of God, and we need to start treating people decently. And we don't do it as a church because we don't understand what mercy is. There's many things that we put up with in our own lives that we can't stand in other people's lives. Jesus went out from them, the Bible says in Matthew 9, verse 9, and he saw a man, Matthew, sitting in his tax collector's booth, and he said, follow me. And he told him, and Matthew got up and he followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does this teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. He said, I know what you give. I know how you give, but I would rather you give mercy than sacrifice. He said to the Pharisees, I see what you give in the offerings and I see what you give in tithes, but you miss the one thing, and that is love of God and what we're supposed to be doing. That is mercy. The church is filled with sinners who are saved by grace. And don't we dare forget it. Woe unto the teachers of laws, you hypocrites, Matthew 23. You have given a tenth of your spices and mint and dill, but you have neglected the more important matter of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Must I mention the woman who was taken in adultery? The Pharisees wanted to stone her because, according to the law, that's what she deserved. But Jesus did just the opposite, and he demonstrated mercy and said, go and sin no more. We have a world that's wanting out of sin, and all we are doing is condemning the sin along with the sinner. That's all they hear. They don't hear a voice of compassion. They do not see a heart of love. They do not see mercy. You tell me someone that's in sin that wants to stay there, and I'll show you someone that's lying. Sin came to steal and to kill and to destroy, and it's doing that, and everyone that's in it understands that is exactly what's happening to them. They want out, but they cannot get out as long as we are standing there with rocks in our hands trying to destroy them. But God, in His mercy, He is rich. And all of us live among them at one time or another, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Ephesians 2, 3 through 5. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. Do we not understand that? How self-righteous do we get when we start pointing fingers? I've been asked out on the road, does being a minister hinder your speeches about what you want for this country? And I said, no, but they hinder my preaching because the people that listen to me, they don't listen any longer to what the Bible is saying and what I am trying to say. They just chalk it up as a political statement and they write it off. That's you. These are Bible statements. I am as compassionate about them and as strong feeling about them as I was 28 years ago when I started preaching them here. It is the kingdom of God. It is the way we work within the kingdom of God and how we spread the kingdom of God. It isn't about building a church with walls. It's about opening up the kingdom so that people might see who Christ is. And we are not showing who he is very well. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. How's that going? Churches are dying all over the world, all over this country. Numbers are slipping back. People aren't getting saved. The baptismal waters are not moving. Why? Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Well, if that is not working, then we better look out and look at what Jesus Christ wants. And condemnation doesn't do it. People need delivered from their sin. They cannot be delivered without his mercy. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. This is Paul the Apostle speaking. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his ultimate patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. If God shows us mercy, and we are the worst of the sinners, what should we do? There was a mother that approached Napoleon one time seeking a pardon for her son. Napoleon replied that the young man had committed a certain offense twice and justice demands death. The lady said, but I didn't ask for justice. I pleaded for mercy. But your son does not deserve mercy, Napoleon said. Sir, the woman cried, it would not be mercy if he deserved it. And mercy is all I ask for. And Napoleon gave him a pardon. You think you've earned salvation? Think you're good enough? You think because you attend church, you think because you give, that you're good enough for heaven? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Without his mercy, we wouldn't have a shot or a chance. In that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He left his home in heaven and he came down here and became the ultimate sacrifice for us. John Wesley was talking to General Oglethorpe, the governor of Georgia. Oglethorpe was telling him about a man and how bad he was, and he said, I'll never forgive him. And Wesley responded, then I hope, sir, that you never sin. We all need to remind ourselves that we are sinners. Should hopefully make us respond in kindness and mercy to others who sin. We've had a history in the churches of running sinners out the door. Jesus had a history of sitting down and talking with them and loving them and showing them compassion. But preacher, don't you see what the church is doing today? We have churches out there just accepting sin. If you compare yourselves with yourselves, that's sin. I'm not talking about comparing yourselves to the other churches and creating a church that still opposes them. I'm talking about building a kingdom that opposes the kingdom of the world, that shows us a way out, a way into eternal life. Why do we always let someone else set up our agenda for what we believe and what we think? Why can't we get back to what the Scripture teaches? Proverbs 11:17. A kind man benefits himself, but a cruel man brings trouble on himself. Job's life was turned around. Remember Job? He lost everything. You know what happened, how Job's life got turned around? You remember the Scripture after what it said that Job did, and then his life got turned around? After Job prayed for his friends, Job 42:10, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. With friends like Job's, you don't need any enemies. Remember when Job was sick, they came in and they condemned him. Told him how bad he was and how he was lying and how he just couldn't be a good person and all these bad things come upon him. Job prayed for those guys. Pleaded God's mercy, and when Job showed mercy upon his friends, God showed mercy upon him. Maybe you're not seeing the mercy of God because maybe you're unwilling to forgive the unforgivable. Maybe you're unwilling to give a second chance to that child or that grandchild or that ex-husband or that ex-wife, where that you can have a communication, a relationship, because you have kids in common or grandkids in common. The Bible says, pursue peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the sons of God. Romans 12:17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Why is it that Christians have chips on their shoulders? Some people come into church with a chip on their shoulder. And they go home and they spread it out and they talk about the chip, and somebody didn't shake hands with them, or they didn't sing the song they wanted to, or they didn't get to do something they wanted to. Then we wonder why our kids don't want to come to church. Romans 14:19, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual affection. God said, I have a standard for you, and you better get within the standard if you want me to bless your life. Titus 3:1-2, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities and to be obedient, to ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one. I think that goes with political leaders. And be peaceable and considerate and show true humility towards all men. Hebrews 12:14, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see God. 1 Peter 3:10-11, for whosoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. These are, scriptures are clear, and God wants us to be peacemakers in this world, not peace breakers. He wants us to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And the church has jumped right in the middle of the problem and has caused a lot of the problem. Why? Because we align ourselves up to worldly things rather than to the kingdom of God. And if we align ourselves up with the kingdom of God, we would be as he is, and he would draw all people unto him. In the Peanuts, Lucy said at one time, I hate everything, I hate everybody, and I hate the whole world. Charlie said, but I thought you had inner peace. Lucy replied, I do, but I also have an outer obnoxiousness. Sometimes we as Christians are guilty of that very thing. Seems like people just carry a chip on their shoulder. And their shoulders, and they go around looking for trouble and looking to stir up trouble. They can't wait until someone says something to open a door so that they can say something negative about someone or about some issue or about something. That is having your agenda, not God's agenda, on mine. It's no way to act in the world as a Christian. We're supposed to be big peacemakers, not bullheaded and know-it-alls. Let's stand together. In a world of hate, envy, anger, love sticks out like a sore thumb. Love is the identifying mark of Christianity. And we as a people need to remember our love, not just our convictions. Because when you step beyond yourself and you step into Christ, people know you've went beyond yourself. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you were merciful unto us. You overlook a whole lot of things in my life and in our lives in order to bless us, and you still bless us. Lord, help us be thankful. Help us to see your kingdom. And Lord, we talk about a world today. And Lord, we know that sin here and sin in China and sin in Vietnam and sin in Africa and sin in South America is the same in your eyes. We also know that the people are all the same in your eyes. And Lord, we want to lift you up to all people, not just our people. We want people to see Jesus. And Lord, you said that you would feed us and take care of us and clothe us, and we would not have a need. And we trust that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, so Lord, we know that if you ask us to do something, you'll empower us to do it. With selfishness and envy and greed, with that in our heart, we can't show mercy. Help us to be merciful because of your mercy towards us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.